Hey everybody, welcome back to Business Therapy. This is episode 64. This is the show where we talk about the intersection between consciousness and mindful practices and best practice business. Today, we won't be having a guest on the show, but we have our producer, Mike, back on to have a little fun with... Hey, Mike.
How's it going?
Always good to have you on. And as usually is the case when Mike comes on the show, we don't have a guest today, but we're going to have a fun Q&A with ChatGPT, and we're going to have a little discussion about AI since that's very hot right now. We thought we'd like to get on the discussion, especially since artificial intelligence is always in the domain of talking about consciousness from multiple angles. So especially if you're out there thinking about what's going on in the world of AI, or you'd like to have a discussion, or you're afraid of what's coming, let's just talk it out. And I think, Mike, you have some questions prepared for us today.
Yeah, we've got some questions from the ether here. So what we're going to do is we'll ask you guys the question, obviously your answers and what you guys think. And then we're going to punch the same question into ChatGPT and see what it gives us. And we'll compare notes and see what's we'll see what's scarier. Okay, so our first question today is, could AI be beneficial in more conceptual duties, such as choosing direction of the firm, strategy formulation, factoring in political factors, social, economic, and higher management? Or do you think that would always be better for humans?
I can start. I'm under the opinion that eventually, and I don't know if ChatGPT is the artificial intelligence that will do it yet, but I believe that strategy and everything else is under the domain of automation, or is subject to automation. So I do think that nothing is safe from increasingly advanced automation taking over, and that includes politics, company strategy, all of those things. And a lot of the work that we're doing at Truvel, the company that sponsors business therapy, is really to advance the idea that there is a consistent and academic underpinning to make those decisions. And if it is consistent and it can be calculatable, then I believe that AI will eventually come for it.
I think that strategy, to the extent it's like, how do we accomplish something, no question, AI would be in a better position to do it. I think I would distinguish that from vision and like deciding what we should do. So it'd be like, you know, if you ask ChatGPT, what should I do with my life? You know, or how should I live my life? You know, these are still the questions that I think are well kept with people to be thinking about. But the how, I mean, that's probably a big part of where all the waste is in companies today, how they go about trying to execute.
So less about, I guess, human interaction and more maybe like black and white duties?
Well, the problem is, if you say black and white duties, you realize, especially with ChatGPT, that they're almost everything that humans are doing are, you know, is black and white. Like it all comes down to some decision matrix based on knowledge, and you're applying knowledge to a decision matrix. So ChatGPT comes along and just adds this natural language processing that makes it sound like another human, so it's more acceptable and more consumable. But a lot of what people are saying is even complex decision making or complex duties, you know, professional jobs, really is just applying knowledge at the right time to, you know, decision matrix. So at the end of the day, I'm really just isolating the one part, you know, almost like, why are we here? Existential questions that, you know, that you probably get great answers from ChatGPT. But that's different than, you know, how humans all interact with one another and, you know, proceed through life.
I agree. I think it'll be... So you just answered the question, but I still think that ChatGPT and things like that will be better for more matters of black and white, yes and no. I think I agree when you say that it won't be as good for conceptual ideas.
Well, now you're raising like the really exciting part, or one of the very exciting parts, yeah, about ChatGPT is asking the right question and asking the question with sufficient detail. So if you say, what should be our strategy? You know, very open-ended, you're going to get one set of answers. But if you really think about, wait, why am I choosing a strategy? Why am I trying to do what I'm trying to do? And you get why, and you get deep enough into the question, then that's the real power of ChatGPT. It's not even that it could drive you to that. But what's brilliant about it is the better you are at asking the question, the better the information that you're going to get out of it is. And the reason I say that in terms of this black and white is if someone is just thinking of, oh no, this whole class of professional duties is complex and not the provenance of ChatGPT, you know, AI, they're going to miss out. But if people can accept really what's happening here, is it's really just, like I said, a combination of an immense amount of knowledge applied to decision-making, you know, then there really isn't anything that's not black and white. Ultimately, it's a matter of distilling it down to that essence. And so the better you are at asking the question, but if you start off thinking this class or that class is already beyond ChatGPT, then yes, you'll get an answer that proves that.
Yeah, and also just we started the conversation, I think, more broadly with automation. ChatGPT is a very great and current example of automation, or artificial intelligence, rather, not just automation. But ChatGPT might not be somebody I'd recommend in its current state to run a company. But artificial intelligence, I do not think, will be barred from making any level of human decision making. If it's given, and to Jonathan's point, if it's given the right context, you know, if you ask, what is my strategy as a person or a company, and that's it, there's no context for anyone to make an answer except for the person asking the question. And even then, the context they use to answer their own question would have to be, they have it in their head, it just hasn't been articulated. I think if they had enough detail to ask, even ChatGPT right now, to Jonathan's point, if they had enough awareness of the variables that go into that decision, then even today, it could probably give you a pretty good answer.
So you're saying the inputs matter the most then?
Right. Now.
Like the information you're giving it matters the most rather than the question.
People have to expand their minds to what they consider complex, what they consider, you know, what humans should do and things like that, because it'll get ahead of them. Let me give you an example of something that is already now. I trust my watch at the end of the day to direct my health far more than I ever did with doctors. Not because I don't trust them, but because the data and the loop is so much clearer. So my watch is tracking my sleep. It's tracking everything that I'm doing. And then it then shares with me, because I have, you know, let's say a sleep problem, it's sharing with me meditation due before sleep. And then it's like, and it's directing all this behavior. There's no humans involved. So it's already automated. Like the things that it's directing in my behavior probably would have required, I don't know, 7 different doctors and all that time. And the truth is, why? Because I'm asking the wrong question. I know I'm not sleeping enough. I know I'm not, like, you know, so like you have to start out by saying, it's the issue is not the knowledge, or the issue is not the automation or the AI. The issue is the human, you know, still, and the human's reluctance to accept the data and accept what's going on.
See, I asked it on that same point, like I asked it, could AI be beneficial in more conceptual duties? And the answer it gave me was, yes, AI could be beneficial in more conceptual duties. AI can help to automate complex processes and use data and insights to provide more accurate and efficient solutions. AI can help to identify patterns, trends, correlations in data that are difficult for humans to detect. So, I mean, it's an answer.
Well, difficult for humans to detect, I like that. I will caution one thing. I remember when Wikipedia came out, and you know, you had all these professors saying, you can't cite to Wikipedia, it's not real information. Now, I think most people at this point, they do look at Wikipedia to get a lot of their information. But the fact is, I don't know what the percentage is, there is a lot of inaccuracy there. You know, that's the reality. There are things that are just flat out not true, but it's accepted. Well, now you're going to have, instead of just doing a search on Google or something, you're going to be going into ChatGPT or Google's brand or whatever the different AIs are. And because of natural language processing, it will sound correct, just like Wikipedia presents very correctly. And now the scale of disinformation is something to be very afraid of. So I'm mentioning that because here I am, I'm saying that AI is something we, you know, it's already here. We should embrace it because otherwise it'll pass by the humans. But I would caution the other part is that the real trick that ChatGPT pulled off so far is that it doesn't sound like a chatbot. And that's dangerous because it sounds authoritative. So you gotta balance those two.
Yeah. Yeah, it does sound scary. But it does sound scary accurate too.
But it sounds like for question one, we're in alignment, all three of us. Me and everyone, Jonathan, yeah, and ChatGPT.
you guys and the robot are all are all good to go. Question two. What industries will be most disrupted positively by something like ChatGPT and AI?
So when you say disrupted positively, I just want to make sure I understand that qualification.
Like, I guess what industries will be innovated by AI and ChatGPT?
You know, it's interesting because innovation, or let's talk about disruptive innovation, is seeing, you know, doing something in a way that we hadn't conceived before, and that materially changes the process or the way that we think about having, like, a need being met. For me, artificial intelligence is a very advanced form of automation. So it's mostly going to be deployed not in a disruptive way from a process perspective, but it's going to be making people's work a lot less laborious, like all forms of automation. So it'll be driving down a lot of cost. Now, radical cost reduction could be disruptive in some industries, but I just want to, when we talk about innovative disruption, unless you just applied the artificial intelligence to think of creative solutions that haven't been attempted before, then that could be very disruptive, and we don't even know what we don't know, what it could come up with in that way, and that could impact everything. The more, not lucid, it might not be the right term, but the more comprehensive that its considerations can be, and the more realistic and viable its solutions are, then you could get a massive amount of disruption all over the marketplace with that kind of application of artificial intelligence. But I'd say in the near term, for the tasks that a ChatGPT or an advanced artificial intelligence could perform, it's going to just perform it at a fraction of the cost, and there will be massive operating model disruption in terms of people who used to be able to do this work or paid to do this work. Like they all talk about with all sorts of fear around automation, they will no longer need to, and they'll have to move on to other things. So that might not be the exact answer, because I think it's too broad to say, oh, this industry or this market versus another. I think where we're headed is it could be massively disruptive to many marketplaces.
Yeah. If I use a looser definition of disruptive, as in just changing the status quo, because I agree with Sam, like anticipating the full disruption that we can't see now, it's easier to see it in the negative. It's easier to see like the dangerous ways it could be deployed, and then the new kind of industries that'll need to be spawned from that. But it's harder to think about it the other way, I think, only because there are so many industries and so many scenarios that it's clearly going to disrupt. So like, and I think it's harder for me to come up with an industry that it won't disrupt or change dramatically. And I've seen this already. Again, like you go, if you want to return something on Amazon, like the process is completely automated at this point, you know, in terms of even approving whether or not I should get it. And it's doing it super quickly, or applying for a credit card, or, so that's, you know, banking, you know, services, healthcare I already mentioned. I mean, that'll be dramatic. Any place where there is customer service. So I think the list is just, it's harder to think of something that it's not going to disrupt.
Yeah. And punching it in, it actually gave us seven specific sectors here. So, and a how. So number one, healthcare. AI can help reduce costs and improve the accuracy of diagnosis, treatments, and procedures. That sounds reasonable. Yep. Manufacturing, AI-powered automation can reduce costs and increase production speed and efficiency. Transportation, autonomous vehicles powered by AI can reduce traffic and improve safety. Retail, AI-powered chatbots can improve customer service and simplify shopping experiences. Finance, AI-powered financial advice and automated trading can reduce risk and increase profits. Media and entertainment, AI-powered content curation can improve user experience and engagement. And education, AI-powered tutoring and teaching can help students learn more efficiently.
Yeah, I think
so media and entertainment.
I think you can, ahead, and that's an example of how you can use ChatGPT. If you get into, in you know, which jobs in the healthcare sector are going to be affected and how, you know, like in other words, the more detailed the question is, you're going to get better answer. That's pretty generic what it said. And maybe even try what won't be disrupted. You know, which sectors won't be disrupted by ChatGPT.
Yeah, I was going to say it gave you kind of a know-it-all answer. It kind of sold itself short there. But when you talk about it disrupting financial services, manufacturing, retail, education, I mean, it's basically saying everything. I mean, what's left?
A little off too. It says agriculture, education, logistics, okay. Then it says healthcare again. Financial services, entertainment, government services,
okay, so
manufacturing.
We already, so this is an example of an incorrect answer because I could prove no unquestionably that logistics is affected.
Agriculture. Yeah. Agriculture,
I mean, there's just absolutely no question. It's already affected, you know, so.
So yeah. Tough one. Tough one for ChatGPT today.
Stumped him already. We're only 15 minutes into the chat.
I guess we kind of already discussed this one, but what industries will be, I guess, effective negatively? So I guess with the introduction, what industries will, I guess, be taken back by AI and it won't help?
So... yeah, we have kind of talked about this, and my opinion is artificial intelligence can't affect an industry negatively unless you're trying to speak from the human perspective of all the labor displacement that could be possible and maybe the market disruption and the social turmoil that it could cause if it's at a high enough scale. But if you're just talking from a business standpoint, not from a human standpoint, you know, it would be like saying, hey, the newest tool is out on the market. How is this going to negatively impact an industry? I mean, people can choose to use the tool or they can choose to not use the tool, and they can use it effectively or they can use it less effectively. But generally, you're not going to have new tools ever systemically reduce the effectiveness of, let's say, an entire marketplace or an entire industry segment. I just don't look at it that way. I think it can only be a productive force for wherever it's applied. And to a certain extent, I don't see how something like this could be applied negatively unless we start getting a Skynet situation and starts taking over and killing people and things like that.
So I don't know. I fully agree with that, Sam, because I think, again, it comes down to the human application. So will this make scammers more effective? Unquestionably. You know, like the Nigerian prince, you know, who's selling me, you know, something, you know, like of the old email, you know, that was a joke. Like now, the scams will be, it'll do all the phishing and everything, you know, can automate all that. And it will seem like it's a human in terms of the, you know, if it's sending me an email or something like that, it won't look so ridiculous. You know, what's an email address that humans would think, you know, makes sense. So I think you'll have an element of that, but then realize that one of the first applications of ChatGPT that, you know, I didn't anticipate right away was that it was going to affect coding so fast. Because now you can actually have it code. It's text. So now imagine if there's malware. Imagine if there's, you know, any kind of nefarious efforts out there. Now you're just scaling it, you know, at an exponential rate.
Yeah. Well, I'd respond, though, again, that there's no question that there can be an escalation of processes that are bad for society. but I wouldn't say that it is affecting those processes negatively. I mean, if I'm a hacker, this is great news for me because now I'm going to be able to hack more effectively than I was hacking before. It's just the same thing, you know, if I was a cyber terrorist, I'm going to be able to do that better. I don't see it getting worse for them. Now, again, I think it's a separate argument to say, is that better for society? Is it going to cause more good than bad? But generally, it should enhance everyone's ability to do whatever they're trying to do.
Right. And I wasn't making an argument for like good, bad, or anything like that. It's more that it's just an extension of the human, you know, in terms of the application of it.
Yeah. Yeah,
so and the Skynet is that the ultimate horror is when AI decides to start acting like there's bad actors in humans, you know, in society. So now AI has bad actors, you know, or things like that. That's the Skynet. I'm just talking about, you know, the step before that, where humans are just using it to augment whatever they're trying to do.
Agreed. Yeah, I think we're aligned. It's a powerful tool. And in that way, the user of the tool is going to determine the outcome.
Yeah, and I punched it in already it didn't give me anything extravagant or exciting. Same sort of thing. It can improve processes and it gave us the tool thing too, like it said, whoever's using it. But that leads me into, to another question, which is, what will AI do for human critical thinking and what's the ripple effect? So we see, and I would say, for example, like we're seeing all these students using ChatGPT, we're seeing students using the tools. We're seeing other students create the tattletale version of it, so you can detect who's using AI and who's using ChatGPT. So, what does the tool do for critical thinking, and what does that look like on a large scale?
Yeah, I'll start again, and it's actually an extension of what Jonathan said earlier. And to me, this is maybe an overly optimistic instinct. But I think that it's going to actually increase critical thinking in people at large, because one could say, oh, well, if ChatGPT is going to do all the work for people, they won't have to engage their brain, or they won't, you know, they'll get lazy, or they'll just be layabouts. But actually, if you're going to be, every generation has to be competitive with the tools that are available. And to be competitive with something like ChatGPT, for example, you have to learn how to ask better questions. And this is what Jonathan was talking about. The output of a tool like that's an artificial intelligence tool is going to be based on people understanding a broader context, providing it the right information through the questions that are asked. And if they're going to get better outputs than their peers or their colleagues, let's say in a professional setting, they're going to have to challenge themselves to think in a more synthesized manner than they do today. And in that, I think it's going to require more brain power and more critical thinking to be successful than we have in the current generation. Now, is it going to cause some people to lapse into total laziness if they can get away with it? Sure. But I think generally everyone's going to have to challenge themselves to get faster and smarter to be able to use these tools effectively against their peers.
I agree with that, of course. And, we've seen this play out already. You know, if you look at all the earlier process improvement efforts where everyone was, oh, you're just reducing what I do to some, you know, some list of decisions and steps that now anyone can do, or, you know, you're taking the character out of it. Or what it essentially does is when you reduce something and eliminate the simplest level of it, it forces everyone to move up a level. You know, so there's no choice. So I think it's going to greatly accelerate critical thinking. I think the people are looking at it the wrong way in terms of it's going to make people never have to think because they could just have ChatGPT do all their thinking for them. But I mean, that's the same as, you know, someone could just be looking at their phone all day and, you know, never accomplish anything. You know, like, in other words, now you're getting to the real exciting part. Well, and maybe hopefully we'll talk about this later about like what this does to society as a whole and our consciousness, you know, in general. That's what I'm really excited about. But no question, it's going to force people to think about what is the right question? Why am I asking this question? Why do I need this knowledge? Especially because now if knowledge is in such abundance, you know, at least still on the internet, you have to go picking through it. But if it now is going to put it all together in one package for you, like, okay, now what do I do with all this? You know, and you know, where do I keep it? And, you know, so now people even be like, what? Maybe I don't even want to ask this question right now. You know, like, so I think it'll be amazing what it does.
Yeah, you think about, just to maybe throw some analogies in there, it's a becoming, the tools available to us are becoming more complex. And to use complex tools, you have to engage more complexity in your mind and the way you engage with them. If you had to build something with a hammer, there's only so many ways you can intellectually engage with it to make it augment what you're doing. If you have to engage with ChatGPT to solve a problem, you have to bring your own level up and the way you think about it to engage with it. This is the same thing that happened with the internet, which was just around the corner. You know, this is only a few decades ago when the internet came out and people said, well, this is going to make kids dumb because they can just look up Spark Notes online. They can just swap papers. They don't have to do anything anymore. Now we're all connected. But if you look at what happened in the last decade or so, I would argue that aggregate intelligence is increasing a lot. People move faster. People are more connected. They have better access to information. Critical thinking has only gotten sharper since technology has gotten more complex. And I think we're just going to see that trend continue.
And some people are afraid that what it ends up doing is it elevates, you know, the more capable someone is intellectually, let's say, the more available this is. And then maybe there's a, you know, people who aren't as intellectually capable won't be able to benefit from this, you know, revolution. And again, it just doesn't, it falls on its face because it basically, it equalizes the playing field. Because, you know, it's, I remember all the time when you know, in the old days doing lean events, and, you know, process improvement events, the questions that were the best had nothing to do with like who knew the most or anything like that. It was people just the most open to whatever the process was. And so, and who actually paid attention to what they were doing. So I think that this, if anything, levels the playing field, but then just as Sam said, it just elevates everyone's capability in general.
Yeah, that's sort of what it has here. It says AI can enhance human critical thinking by providing access to more information faster and more accurately than humans can process. AI can also help humans to identify patterns and correlations that could otherwise go unnoticed and provide deeper insights into complex data sets.
It's really proud of its data analytics and pattern recognition abilities.
Huge. It loves it. It loves it. Yeah. Okay, so we started off kind of going societal, sort of society-wide. Let's narrow it down to more the workplace and sort of what we're about, which is mindfulness, how it affects, you know, people's workplace life. So what fears do you have regarding AI taking over simple jobs and leaving people out of work?
I personally don't have any fears, but I'm also not running a country. I'm not somebody who feels particularly threatened by automation taking over my job. So it's a tough question, I think, to answer. And I want to approach this topic with a little bit of sensitivity, because I do think we're starting to get to a phase where there is going to be a lot of job displacement. And a lot of people have different sides of that argument about, well, there'll always be more jobs that humans can do as automation continues to progress. But I will say definitively, at least how my logic works, is humans are finite. We have a finite set of capabilities. We're physiologically constrained. As we continue to automate more and more and more, there's just going to be a limit to what humans can do. And we're going to have to face that, I think, with eyes wide open. So if you think about what could happen in the job, well, a lot of people's jobs can be replaced for sure. And there's a lot of societal questions, not only moral questions, but also just how do societies are going to work as this future is starting to become reality, that are very concerning. And I think pose a lot of very serious questions. But I'll start the conversation there, because personally, I'm more excited than nervous. And that might be a more of an issue of where I am in life and where I sit in society than is would be the normal maybe reaction.
And I would say that I think we already know the answer to all this, because this isn't the first time automation's happened. This isn't the first time there's disruption. This isn't the first time that hosts, you know, I mean, the entire agricultural industry was, you know, like I don't know, 80% of people were involved in it once upon a time. And now it's, I don't know what percentage, but, you know, so like there isn't an industry that this hasn't happened in and where there's been massive amounts of shift. But if you look at the data, the total number of people, and I don't have the data on this ChatGPT, but the number of jobs in the world right now and the number of people living above the poverty line and the number of people who you know, who are able to contribute to society, you know, there's no question the trend is just more and more and more and more. So every time there's automation, everyone's like, oh, all these people are losing jobs. But there hasn't been a scenario where there where automation has not ultimately created more jobs and more opportunity.
Well, but that one I'm not sure about. It's going to, that can't continue forever though. I don't think, Jonathan, that where, you know, more jobs can't keep being created. There's going to come a time where I think automation will start to limit the overall job pool that humans can feasibly do. Are you not aligned with that?
I mean, you know, you get to a point where, like, you imagine a world where it's just all robots and no people, you know, like you look in the Matrix and, like, you know, you could start seeing that. No, I don't think so. I think that, I'm a big fan of patterns that seem to be embedded, and it's just my, you know, obviously it's an opinion, but we'll go to more planets, you know, we'll expand as a species, and the process will just keep going and going and going, or we'll have some common challenge that affects all of humanity that requires people to do a lot more, or, you know, like, in other words, whatever happens, it won't be because of automation limiting us as a species.
Right. Well, and I will say, and maybe it's the answer, the question that was originally Mike, you asked with another question, which is, I'm not afraid of artificial intelligence. I'm more afraid of what the leaders of humanity will do as our species evolves in tandem with technology. I think that's what really people should be afraid of. We should never be afraid of productivity, of innovation, of the ability to do more with less and create abundance. I think now the question of what is the people in control of that abundance going to do with it for all of mankind? Now that is that's a question that could be posed, and I have a little more nervousness about that.
That's a dark question, Sam.
But so, yeah, I agree. I also think, though, that if more people understand, like right now, like let's say government, it's a black hole, you know, like I think people still have a conception of, you know, there's a lot of waste, there's problems, et cetera, but, you know, it's hard work running a country or, you know, whatever it is. But I think as it gets exposed more, and as you could say, this choice versus that choice to, you know, impact the economy, or, you know, like the more information that more people have, the more will require leaders to elevate how they're doing things. And those who don't, you know, I think that'll be its own process. I think ultimately the question is AI such a different form of automation because now we have a competition as a species, you know? So if AI becomes competition as a species, you know, yes, then I think that's the ultimate limit. You know, like now we've just introduced, you know, be like bring the dinosaurs back or something like that. You know, it changes the whole, our whole ecosystem. But if it doesn't arise, you know, into its own consciousness, then it's still an extension ultimately of man.
And then on top of Sam,
you want to rebut
that.
I mean, I kind of said it earlier. I agree with what you're saying, which is that AI is in its current state is only an extension of mankind. So it's only going to be used as a tool for more and more advanced automation. Now, like I've already mentioned, I believe that everything that a human can do can be automated eventually. And because we're finite, there is a finite amount of things that humans can do. So if you combine those two together logically, there will be an end to automation where humans will have to do nothing to satisfy anything that a human could possibly want to do. I don't know if that's going to happen in our lifetime, but it will get there eventually. And I think there's going to be that issue. But then the issue you're talking about, if AI actually forms another layer of consciousness, that conversation is a fascinating one. But it's just like, do we compete with dolphins? Do we compete with bees? We just live in different universes from species with different levels of consciousness. If AI gets to that point, we're just going to be in the background to their existence. It's not going to be humans against AI. That would be like saying, hey, bees, do you feel like you're against humans? we live in different conceptual universes, like at different speeds of processing data and understanding material reality. And when AI gets there, they may see humans as we could be rebelling or uprising, but as much of just like a pack of wolves trying to like attack somebody's farm, you know what I mean? And they're just going to be like, this is a nuisance. We have our own agenda. It's not even going to be a, we're just going to fall into the other order of just mammals on the planet is my theory.
You know, like, I'm sorry if this is going off that, but I think it is a little different than the bees or the like, unless the AI would be, but if AI becomes self-aware and more importantly, aware that it's aware, then that is a different class of issue than dolphins or anything else that's on the planet. And because their consciousness would have been spawned by man, you have to imagine that there'd be some element of, you know, man's flaws and thinking introduced into that consciousness.
See, that's where I highly doubt it. Because if man created it and it could start to develop its own self-awareness, its capabilities are so far beyond our comprehension to compute data at a magnitude and scale and like also across dimensions that we can't even physically comprehend. What will concern to it, we can't possibly conceive. Even if man conceived it, it's going to be in a time space in a universe where we can't even fathom. So
you're saying it would be a more advanced than us. We're the bees in the example.
Yes. Yeah. I'm okay, saying like good. We would
then,
be.
Then we're in agreement. We're in agreement.
Yeah, yeah. Like as far as let's say all the other animals on the planet, insects, mammals, fish, you know, we look at them all as animals. We're just going to be lumped in with animals. Like we'll be closer to them than to it. And like, we're just going to be background noise for whatever that consciousness is, if it gets to that point. And, you know, in some ways you can look at that as comforting. We won't be the center of the show anymore, but you know, let's just hope that it's nicer to us than we are to nature, but we haven't gone and wiped out nature systemically. We have no reason to. So, and I doubt they would either. It'd be like saying, you know, it's kind of funny. The thought that humans think, oh, the robots could come in an uprising and they would even deign to kill all humans. That's like saying, would you deign to kill all cockroaches? What's the point? The computers wouldn't even care that we're around. We would just be doing whatever and they'd be living their lives.
Yeah. So one day their like great, great grandkids will be sitting around and they'll look outside. It's raining. They go, ah, damn AI. You know, like we'll just be whatever our world is. It'll be just whatever is a result of whatever AI is doing.
Yeah, and I'm sure to most animals, you could look at humans and how erratic and random and capricious and volatile we are. I mean, we're going to look at our AI masters and probably we won't be able to understand them either. We'll use whatever framework we can to understand their behavior, but we won't be able to comprehend their behavior. So,
well, the way you're saying it, you realize that we do have a framework. It's religion, you know, like because that would be God. So
it would, anyway. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's sort of like you guys hit most of the other points, but one that it brought up was ethical implications. That's one of the fears. AI can be programmed to make decisions without considering ethical implications, leading to potentially harmful outcomes.
You know, it's so funny. I actually think it forces man to consider ethical issues. So like you see like the problem of the ethical issue where with AI driven cars, if it has a choice between hitting, you know, if it's going out of control or avoiding a car or hitting a pedestrian on the side of the road or hitting three pedestrians on one side or a baby on the other, you know, like it has to start figuring out like which thing to avoid, which object to avoid. But these are ethical questions that we have right today. We just don't really, you know, we don't act on them or aren't forced to really think them through. So I think it just accelerates our need to actually start considering the ethics of different issues.
Yeah, I agree with that. And programming it effectively, right?
Yeah, I'm surprised. Well, ChatGPT seems so politically, I'm struck by the fact it's so politically correct. It's almost like saying, you know, I'd be amazing if there weren't some ethical issues that might be violated. It's like, you don't have to cover your ass like that. You know, just say what you want to say.
Just say what you want, man. And then, so we'll bring it back to the business side here. We'll go one more. What does the future of entrepreneurship look like with AI?
I think it looks exciting, to be honest. I'm already seeing it happen in the entrepreneurship spaces that I frequent because it's lowering barriers to entry to entrepreneurship, like everything else. You can start creating an idea, you can start basically hiring an AI team for free in the beginning stages, and you can really explore stuff, and you can amplify labor. You can experiment and do all sorts of things. You can do research, you can test hypotheses. And in that way, people are going to have an easier time engaging with ideas and entrepreneurship. And I think we've talked about this in other contexts before. Entrepreneurship, disaggregation of large business into small business, I think that's the exciting nature of our future, at least for the next few decades. And I think AI will be a part of that conversation for sure.
Yeah, I don't have anything to add to that one.
Do you think that it eliminates, do you think that with all of the, let's say the employment that it makes redundant, do you think that there's going to be a mass rush into entrepreneurial endeavors, or do you think we'll have to adjust on a larger scale to all of this work that humans can no longer do?
I think it's going to be both. I don't think people are going to rush into entrepreneurial endeavors because they're going to, it's like, this is the only job I can do. It's the only way I can make money, which is become an entrepreneur. I don't think it will be that. Go ahead, Jonathan.
Yeah, well, I just could say the question is, for, you know, the characterization of the question is, you know, I think is the issue, because it will create a whole class of corporate jobs. It will create a whole class of, you know, entrepreneurship possibilities. It'll augment all the, you know, opportunity in all domains. It won't be, it's not specific to entrepreneurship or to working for, you know, a company. And to the extent we're saying it'll disrupt certain jobs, again, like, that always happens. And of course, you know, to Sam said it very, very well earlier, you know, obviously we're not cavalier about that on any level, but if you just look at society or human, you know, mankind as an evolution, the net effect has been historically that if you lose five jobs, it's going to give us 15, you know, so, and it won't be in a whole new class necessarily. It could still exist within the current framework of, mm-hmm. you know, companies versus, you know, startups versus whatever, at least for a while.
Yeah. And I would add, and I'll put it this way to try to sum that up. It's, we talk about how automation, it reduces administrative activity and allows for more creative expression. In a way, when I hear people say entrepreneurship is sort of the business analog to creative expression versus a corporate job, which may be more, less thought provoking and more structured. So if you talk about how advanced automation is going to impact the marketplace generally, it's going to increase the ability for humans to engage with their creative potential in corporate, in non-corporate. And it's like what Jonathan was saying. It's going to have that net effect in all the domains that it plays. Everyone is going to be allowed to be more creative and manifest themselves more creatively, because a lot of the stuff that's less creative is going to be covered. And that will naturally spur more entrepreneurship. But I think it is important to reiterate what Jonathan said. It's also going to spur a lot of creativity within corporate arenas. They're not necessarily related.
I should caution, though, that it will feel, I believe, different than past cycles, like the Industrial Revolution. You know, it will feel different because the time scale is dramatically compressed, because the total number of jobs or areas that this will affect and the speed with which it's affecting it is unlike something we've seen in the past. You know, like each time, you know, as we evolve as a species, the time scale gets compressed, you know, so like the things that were, you know, you look at science, like it's not a straight line. It's actually like, it's almost like rushing, you know, everything just keeps getting faster. And so this will feel qualitatively different because of how messy it will be and how wholesale it will be. And that is, you know, that will definitely lead people to think differently about it. But I just think it's just time. It's just from our perspective as people, as time. But it's, again, you take a step back and look at it, it's qualitatively the same.
Mm-hmm. All the energy, the collective human energy and knowledge on the planet is condensing, and then time is going to condense, and then it's going to explode into a big bang, and then the simulation will reset.
Ooh, that's a good place to end it, Sam. That's a good place to end it. Yeah.
Well, can I? Oh, is this, you're saying end the podcast?
No, keep going, John. Yeah, yeah.
There's just one thing. The thing I'm most excited about at AI, you know, and there's a bunch of things, is I am hoping that this will help people start really thinking about their purpose, you know, even more so than has been in the past, you know, and why they're here and what's the purpose of life, you know, because we've talked about this on the show before. You can go through all your college, you know, all your education, just like, this is what I'm supposed to do next. This is what I'm supposed to do next. And you get a job and then you do this and everything. With the time scale of people's, you know, jobs, especially seemingly complex jobs and professional jobs, suddenly getting automated, I'm hopeful that people will start looking at that and say, you know, my entire life could have been automated. In fact, I can automate all the arguments with my spouse, you know, or whatever, like, because ChatGPT can just do it. I don't even need to, you know, go through this argument, or like, you know, it's almost every aspect of life can start to be automated in my place. Like, I'll just put, you know, like right now, you know, do not disturb. I just have ChatGPT answer everything in my life and, you know, take care of everything. And much like, you know, people look at, you know, like maybe in the old days, if someone's putting a bottle top on top of a bottle, you know, day after day after day, you know, we would look at that existence today as you know, not very inspiring, because clearly a machine could be doing that. Well, now even professional jobs and, you know, things that people went to school for many, many years, and have life, this, you know, life changing decisions that need to be made, can be automated. So in that kind of environment, you know, people could just retreat further into the tons of distractions that they have all day long, you know, like, and that's the other problem, you know, with the rise of all this automation is also the rise of all this distraction. So we don't have to think about the implications, but I'm hopeful that people will start thinking about, why am I here? Why am I doing this? Why am I going to this job? Why am I, you know, like, and really just start getting to the core of what makes us human, because all this other stuff is not actually what makes us human and special, or even any individual human or special. So.
Yeah. Well said. That's yeah. Yeah. That was good. I don't think ChatGTP has an answer for that one.
Actually, I just was reading that from ChatGPT.
Were you really? Oh man. Got me. Got me. I think that's all we've got. Yeah.
Awesome.
I think that's it for today.
Well, guys. Thanks, yeah. Mike, for leading a rousing discussion. Thanks, ChatGPT, for weighing in and showing us what you can do. And with that, we look forward to speaking with everyone next week on Business Therapy.